The Bruderhuisle, or Brother House, is closely connected to the history of the Christberg and St. Agatha's Chapel. When you are at the Christberg Sattel and descend in the direction of Delas for a few minutes, you come to the solitary forest chapel, the Bruderhuisle. The forest brother Joss, or Jodok Erhard, lived here at the end of the 15th century. Since documents also mention his wife Anna, it must be assumed that the settler decided to live after the example of brother Klaus from Floye in Switzerland, who, in agreement with his wife, gave up conjugal cohabitation in order to serve God in solitude. Joss Erhard built a hermitage and a chapel in honor of the Holy Ghost at the border of the forest. The forest brother lived in close contact to the working miners on both sides of the Christberg Sattel. The all-important connecting path from the Christberg down to the Klostertal went right past his hermitage. Even after mining had come to an end, this path was very important to the people from the Silbertal, and especially for the inhabitants of Christberg. Documents mention that the sacristan of St. Agatha's was also responsible for the path from Christberg down to the community of Silbertal. It wasn't until 1840, when a street was built from the valley into Schruns, that the path lost some of its importance. In any case, there was a lot of activity going on around the hermitage built by Joss Erhard. Some demoralized souls also carried their physical and spiritual woes to the hermitage to ask for advice and help. The hermit had a great influence on the religious life of the miners. He was the co-founder and main benefactor of the famous Holy Trinity Brotherhood on the Christberg. The Brotherhood was founded in 1493 on the Monday after the Holy Trinity Sunday. Bishop Heinrich from Chur confirmed the Brotherhood on November 21st, 1500, after being petitioned to do so by Father Jodok Graeber in Silberberg, Father Johann Spitzennagel in St. Gallenkirchen, Brother Jodok Erhard and his wife Anna, as well as other citizens in the area. Out of deference to this brotherhood, 24 Roman cardinals issued St. Agatha's Chapel on the Christberg a 100-day indulgence period for the believers that went to the church after remorsefully confessing their sins. In 1501, St. Agatha's got its own vicarage through the instigation of the Brotherhood. The vicarage came under the authority of the rectory in Silbertal. The chaplain was obligated to say a mass in the chapel of the Holy Ghost in the forest, which meant in the hermitage of Joss Erhard, once a week. In his testament from the year 1495, Brother Joss Erhard from Dallas, living on the Christberg, declared that in honor of God and the Virgin Mary, and for the salvation of his predecessors and all of his offspring, and for all of those that had been good to him, that he had built a small chapel and a small house on the Christberg, and that he wanted to stay there and serve God. We can read, because the blessed brothers on Christberg to St. Agatha, called the Brotherhood of the Holy Trinity, thereat began helping to build such a building and the adornments to God that are in it, and only asked for mild taxes and gave a helping hand in the hope that the laudable charge of the Holy Mass thereat celebrated, so he testifies and orders, provides and bequeaths, that when he dies and when no one lives in his house in the forest and serves God like he did, the house and all of the adornments to God in the chapel, his chalice, liturgical vestment, bells, plates, and other ornaments, whatever is left to the above-named brotherhood to do with as they see fit. It seems that the forest brother Joss Erhard didn't have any offspring. With the decline of mining, so the knowledge and influence of this man slowly disappeared from the memories of the citizens of Silbertal and Dallas. The chapel and hermitage fell victim to time, and today there are only a few remains left of the main walls, and even these are covered in moss and ferns. About 150 years ago, a vicar in Silbertal found this testament and was very moved by its contents, so much so that he had a chapel built in memory of the hermit, close to where the old hermitage was. The chapel is called Das Brüderhüsli in the local dialect, which means the small brother house. The people that live in the area made up their own legend about the chapel. First, a note about the baptism of stillborn children. According to the parish chronicles from St. Jodoc's Parish Church in Schruns, which was torn down in 1865, under certain circumstances, stillborn babies were allowed to be baptized. A large number of these baptisms took place between the years 1740 and 1780. Most of these babies were also buried in the cemetery in Schruns. The death registry for the parish of Silbertal also reports that a number of stillborn children were baptized in Schruns in the 18th century. Babies were even brought from Liechtenstein, Tyrol, and from the Allgäu in Germany for this purpose. Similar things also took place in the village of Serfaus in Tyrol. A steep winding path leads from Christberg up to the small church of St. Agatha, and then down again on the bumpy, narrow, wooded mountainside trail to Dallas. At about the halfway mark stands a small chapel in the solitary quiet of the woods, adorned with a picture of Mary, Mother of God. The chapel is called Brüderhüsli, or small brother house, in the local dialect. Everyone who makes the arduous trek is happy to sit down and rest here at the chapel. According to legend, the founder and benefactor was a man from Tannberg who died long ago. The man's wife bore him a son, but the child was stillborn and couldn't be baptized, and this saddened the pious father. In those days, stillborn children were often taken to the church in Schruns in the Montafon and laid on the Josephi altar, or St. Joseph's altar. Credible witnesses were then called to pray, and it often happened that the dead child showed signs of life for a short time. The priest was quickly summoned, and a baptism was performed. The man from Tannberg, full of believers' faith, told his servant to take the body of the child to Schruns. The servant probably felt that this was all superstition, and only took the child as far as the Dallas forest, where he buried him and then went back. Once home, he told the father that he had put the dead boy on the Josephi altar in Schruns, where its lips and cheeks suddenly began to turn red, a sure sign of life, and then it was quickly baptized and later buried in hallowed ground. The father was satisfied. A year later, the man from Tamberg's wife bore him another son, but like before, this baby was also stillborn. This time it was the father himself that took the body and started out for Schruns in order for his child to be baptized. He was about halfway from Dallas, around the Christberg, when he felt tired and decided to sit down and rest for a while. As he sat there wiping the sweat from his brow, he suddenly thought he heard a voice calling out from under the earth, "Daddy, take me with you too." After a short time, the whining, mournful voice called out again. The man from Tannberg dug in the earth, and lo and behold, the unscathed body of the baby from last year appeared, which he recognized from a birthmark. He realized that the servant had tricked him, and picked up both bodies and carried them to Schruns. Once there, his wish came true. Both bodies of the babies showed signs of life for a short period of time while the devout witnesses prayed, and both were baptized by the priest and then buried in the cemetery. Out of eternal gratefulness and in remembrance of the events, the man from Tannberg had the Brüderhüsli built on the spot where he uncovered the body of his baby and gifted it with a trust fund so that it would always be in good repair.